following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Would you pray with me as we dive into the Word tonight? God, thank you for just so many years of faithfulness here at Refuge, Lord, in the area of leadership, of making sure, Lord, that you are our focus. And when we come and we fellowship because of who you are. And when we come, we worship, we praise your name, we worship you. You are our focus. And Lord, when we come to this time and the study of your word, Lord, we seek after you. We desire to know you more. We desire to know more about who you are based on what your word says. And so tonight we come to you and we just seek you out. And I thank you for these Wednesday nights over the years of just your faithfulness of showing up and being here and speaking to your people here at Refuge through your word. And so, Lord, I believe tonight is no different. And I believe that you will guide and lead and direct us tonight. And I believe, Lord, in the year, in the months and years and years and years to come, should you tarry, should you not return for us in this next moment, Lord, that you'll continue to be faithful to us as we open these doors and we have lives that are going on and faithful people come in and they seek you out. Lord, you'll be found in these walls. And so, Lord, I thank you for that, the testimony of how good you are, Lord, to us. So, Lord, tonight, speak to us, direct our hearts. Amen. So here's a question I have for you. Are you a planner or are you a procrastinator? Are you a planner, someone who likes to think about it way ahead of time and get things done? Or are you someone who I'll just wait till the last minute? Now, as a student, I had no choice. There were some people who could just not study ever and they could show up and take a test and they would get good grades. And that was just not me. I was such a planner. I had to be in class and take notes. I couldn't skip class. I had to take notes. So I had to be there, bottom in the seat, taking notes. Then I had to read the book. I know some of you are like, I never did that, right? I had to read the book. And then I had to plan out ahead of time that I was going to study because I couldn't just study the night before. I had to study prior to, and then I had to cram the night before. So it was like a four-step approach to studying. And I'm finding with my kids, my kids are getting into studying now because before there was little kids school and they did no homework. And now they're junior high and they have homework and studying them just the night before doesn't work, I'm finding, just because I know these things. I was a total planner, still am. In fact, some of you, here's how you could tell if you're a planner. If in your car right now, you have flares, you have jumper cables, you have water, you have extra oil, you have extra coolant, does anybody have that? You're probably a planner. Or if you could reach out and be I have a bag that is just for everything. I'm ready for whatever it is, Band-Aids. I've got everything. I've got a little needle point thing. I've got that, right? That means you're probably a planner. If you have 6 months saved up in the bank, wow, first of all, wow. And you're probably a planner. If you have a 50-gallon drum of water somewhere on your premises, anybody have one of those? We do. It was years ago we started talking about that. So we have this big thing. I haven't looked at it for about 12 years or so, but it's in there. I'm pretty sure we could drink it, maybe. You're probably a planner. If when you were in school, you didn't just have a pencil, but you had a box of pencils and you had a pencil sharpener. So just to be sure, you had the extra Scantron, you were ready to go. You're probably a planner. Now, on the other side of that is the dude, I've got this, no worries. I'm not worried about it. I don't need to plan ahead, right? That is the person that says, hey, you got an extra pencil I could borrow? Because I don't have a pencil. Do you have a sharpener? I don't have a sharpener. Do you have a Scantron? I don't have a Scantron. No, don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. It'll all work out, right? That's the procrastinator. That's on the other side of the spectrum. I always do things last minute. It always works out. Don't worry about it, right? That's on the other side. In our text here tonight, actually, Jesus is asking us to be planners to some level. That, in fact, Oftentimes, the things that we cherish and we care about or we deem important, like a final exam, will often become planners for. In other words, maybe we're not planners, but because something is important, we'll be planners when it comes to that. In fact, most people are planners when it comes to weddings, right? Kind of a big, important day. I want it to be special, so we're going to put months, maybe years of preparation into this big day. Because why? We think it's important, right? We've deemed it as something important. If there is a huge promotion on the line at work and my boss asks me to do a task or a job, you better believe, because more promotion means more money, right? I'm going to be a planner. I'm going to work hard at that. I'm going to plan my time out. I might take some sacrifice and I will do a good job and plan it out. Why? Because I value the promotion. I want to be promoted, right? The things that we value oftentimes we'll set aside and we'll plan for. Jesus is saying, that is what I want you to do. He's talking to his disciples and he says, I want you to be ready. I want you to plan for the day that I return and that I come back. He's saying, be ready, be ready, be ready. In fact, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. You see, Jesus is going to be away for a while, physically. He's going to leave, but then he's talking about this time when he's going to come back. And in fact, more specifically, he's talking about the end times. He's talking about possibility of the destruction of the temple. He's talking about all these big, big events that are going to happen sometime in the future. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, do you know what the common question would be? It would be the same thing that you and I would ask him. Look what the disciples ask him. They say this, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, what would they say? What would you ask? Tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age, right? Tell us when this is going to happen. To which after that, all through Matthew chapter 24, Jesus keeps revealing these big things that are going to happen. Hey, be careful when this happens. Here's a sign of when this happens. But there's a common theme through Matthew chapter 24. This is what the common theme is. And just follow with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Look at verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Last one, verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour that he is not aware of the return. What is it? What's the theme? You be ready. Be planned. Why? Because you don't know when he's going to come. The disciples were like, oh, these things sound so big. And all through 24, you can look through that. There's just some big cataclysmic things going on. And all they want to know is just tell us when. And Jesus is saying, it's not for you to know. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to plan on my return. I want you to be ready when I come back. And our text tonight is in chapter 25, verse 1, and he's going to say, listen, let me help you understand to be ready. In fact, I'm going to leave here physically in a little bit, and I want to give you a story that would help to remind you of being ready, of not forgetting who I am and what I've done. I want to give you a story for that. And so he's going to tell them a parable. And as you know, as we went all through Resonance, there was parables. We went through all these parables, and we're going to continue on telling parables on Wednesday nights. So here's the parable for tonight. Look at chapter 25, verse 1. The context we just went through is that Jesus says these big things are going to happen. You don't know the time, but be ready. So look what he says in 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The setting of this parable is as a wedding ceremony. And the bridegroom has told these 10 virgins, but probably young women, more than likely, who've been asked to be part of this wedding ceremony. And what they're going to do is he's going to come on a certain day, and he's going to call for them, and they're going to come out, and he's probably going to have some groomsmen with him, and they're going to go to his bride's, his future bride's house, and they're going to perform a ceremony, kind of what we would say a wedding. And then what they're going to do is take these lamps or torches, and they're going to use them to get there because it's going to probably be dark. It's going to be nighttime when he comes. And then they're going to go throughout the village or the town, and they're going to celebrate with these torches. It's going to be a big, big deal for them. And so that's the setting of the parable that Jesus is telling them. So he's saying, listen, this guy's going to come. Now, he's going to make a distinction between these 10 bridesmaids. He's going to divide him in half. Look at the distinction that he makes here, verse 2. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The distinction was this, right? Some of them, he says, are foolish, and some of them are wise. What made the ones wise that were wise? What did they do? They took extra oil. What did the foolish ones do? They didn't take extra oil. They probably took just enough to keep it lit till they got to the place, but then they had no more. And he says, he calls these people fools, these bridesmaids fools. Why? Because they weren't prepared, right? The aspect of the foolishness is the lack of preparation that they took in preparation for his return. Now, can you imagine the disciples looking at each other? Who is he talking about? Which one of you is the foolish one? Right? I think it's him. He's always forgetting the bread, right? He never brings the bread on the trips. Oh, and when we packed last time, remember, he's talking about us, the foolish ones, right? I think it's them. I think it's Matthew, right? Or so, right? They're calling each other out. And Jesus says, no, right? I've got such a deeper idea of what this parable, this story that I'm telling you is all about. In fact, he says this, look at verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, in other words, the virgins are now waiting, the ladies are now waiting for the guy to show up. This is what happened. They slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. It was like, hey, hook me up, right? Hook me up. I need some oil. In verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. There was a delay in the bridegroom coming. In fact, their mindset possibly was, oh, he'll come and we'll go to the ceremony. But he didn't come, and he didn't come, and he didn't come. And maybe the thought process was, well, maybe he's not coming, right? And the expectation was, oh, you'll come quickly, and then we'll go to the ceremony and we'll celebrate. Maybe he forgot. Maybe we misunderstood. Can't you see the disciples in this very moment as they're listening to Jesus and they're trying to comprehend the story? It would have been really hard initially, but later on thinking, man, there's a promise here that he's going to return, that he's going to come back for us, just like the bridegroom said he would come for those 10 maidens, bridesmaids. And just like they had to wait, and the possibility and the thought was going through their heads, is he ever coming? Is he ever going to return? Is he ever going to, maybe he forgot, maybe he didn't, maybe we misunderstood something, right? But here we see this call that in fact, he has returned, he is coming, the groom has come. And remember, just think now, if you're a disciple and you're down the ways a bit, and you're questioning, oh, is Jesus ever returning? Is he ever come back? Do you remember the story? Do you remember the story of the 10 bridesmaids, the 10 virgins? The groom comes back. But there were some that weren't ready for him. Remember when this story, Jesus called them, what do you call them? Remember? Fools. Because they weren't ready. They weren't prepared. Instead, Jesus would say, be ready. Be prepared. He uses here in the story this idea of midnight. That the groom comes at midnight. An unexpected hour. Late into the night. When what were they doing? All 10 of them. Sleeping. Which in the parable is okay. You could be sleeping because it's late. The idea behind that is like, man, some people could have lost hope because it was going on and on tonight. They'd come expecting to go, and here he is coming at an unexpected time, which if you remember how we started off, there's a whole bunch all through Matthew chapter 24 where he says, you don't know the time. It's not for you to know the time. I'm coming at an unexpected time. All I want you to do is what? Plan ahead and be ready. And he says there's five of them that didn't do this. So then, did you see what they said? Hook us up, right? Give us some of your oil. He's here. And what did they say? If we give you some of our oil, then we might not even make it to the ceremony. And afterwards, we're going to go around the town and we need oil for that. That's why we brought it. That's why we planned ahead. It was important to us that we were able to be there the entire time. You go buy some of your own oil, right? Go. There's probably a place open. Go now at midnight, right? Where are you going to find it at midnight? But go get your own oil. We prized this moment. And now look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, look what happened. The bridegroom, what? He came. He came for them. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. There are some who make it and some who will not. There's some who will plan ahead and be ready for the bridegroom, for Jesus, and there's some who won't be ready, who won't be prepared for that moment. Notice that those who were prepared and were ready, where do they get to go? Right into the wedding, into the ceremony. And the bridegroom is there. And they're in. Ah, we planned ahead. He came, he knocked. We were ready. And now we get to go with him into this ceremony. And there was half of them who did not. And did you see what happened? There was a moment where the door shut. And they knocked on the door. Hey, 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 let us in, let us in. We're here. We're here now. And he says, no. No. But we got the invitation. Remember you invited us. I remember that. I remember that I sent out those invitations, and I want you to be here. I wanted you to come and be a part of this. We got the invitation. And we came out and waited for you. Remember? We were there and we were waiting, and then you came by. And he says, yeah, I remember that. I remember you were there. That's right. I remember you were there. Didn't we do all that you asked? We got the invitation. We showed up. He's like, but you weren't ready when I came. You weren't prepared. You neglected the preparation. You neglected to get yourself ready for my coming. And now here they are. They're at the door. And he says, no. You can't come in. There's a season right now in history, an incredible season, incredible opportunity where Jesus is going out into the nations and he's using people and his word and the power of the Holy Spirit to let people know that door is open, right? Open for all to come in. He's saying, listen, I want you to come to the ceremony. I want you to, you come to the ceremony. You come to the ceremony. Come in, right? Prepare your hearts. Come to Christ, know him, walk with him, put your faith and trust in him. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be washed white as snow. I've provided a way for every single person to come to the ceremony. I want you there. That door right now in history is wide open, but there is a final moment. There will be a point in history where just like that door is shut, on those five bridesmaids who didn't prepare their hearts, and they say, let us in, please, 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 one more chance. No, when that door is shut, it is final, and there will be a moment in history when that time is final. Now, catch this. Jesus is talking about, right, judgment, right, that there will be a time when he will judge. But listen, tonight, as I'm driving home from church, that moment could end for me, right? That some of us are thinking, well, there'll be more time. We'll have more time, right? There'll be warning signs, as he talks about in Matthew chapter 24. But I might not live to see those warning signs. That there could be a moment in time when you or myself are called to be off the face of this earth. And my time, that door that was open, is now shut. I had to make that proper preparation for that moment. Or, you know, Jesus is going to come and rapture his church. That could be a moment where we're like, oh, I wanted to be in that, right? That those who put their faith and trust in him, he will take them off the face of the earth. I want to be in that. There's only one moment when that happens. There's not 10 moments. There's not a, hey, a second chance. I want to come now, right? No, there's moments in time. And he's saying, listen, while the door is open, walk through the door. Put your faith and your trust in him. Make the definitive statement. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 13. There's a couple times when Jesus makes reference to this moment. And he talks about this idea of an open and a closed door. Look at Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. This is Jesus. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? Question mark. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and what? Shut the door. And you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. You, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in the streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. The bridesmaids, they come knocking on the door. You invited us. Yeah, I know. We were there. I know. But you weren't ready. You didn't prepare your hearts for the coming of the Lord. And the same thing is true here. There's this idea of a definitive moment where that door is shut. And there will still be people on the other side of the door who are saying, wait. We knew you. We did things for you. Right? And what does he say? Because he says the same thing here in our text tonight. He says, I do not know you. That is a deeply, deeply sad moment. That God is on this side and people are saying, let us in, let us in. And he said, you had that moment. And now I do not know you. This idea of God knowing you. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. He says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That there's this idea that I just didn't know a bunch of facts about you, but Jeremiah, I knew you intimately and deeply. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. I know my sheep. And look what they do to me. And am known by my own. And they know me. That those people that follow me, I know them. I know them, right? I just don't know a bunch of details about Jeff, but I know Jeff, and he knows me. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. Look what it says here, Galatians 4:8. But then indeed, this is Paul writing to the church of Galatia, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods, right? So your life was filled with trying to know other gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, there's this incredible moment where he's saying, listen, your lives changed once you knew God. Actually, let me say it like this. God knew you. Think about it. The creator of the universe knows you deeply and intimately. That's a powerful statement. That's just not known by all people all over the world, that somehow people would say, oh yeah, my God knows me. right? That's a huge deal. That God would say, I want to know you. That I don't just use you. You're not just a pawn in the game, right? I'm not just some distant God who doesn't care, who just plays games with humanity. In fact, he says, I know you. I know you. And that's to change all your actions. It's to change all that you are, that deep knowledge of knowing God. But it should also cause us to think there will be a moment where people knock on that door, maybe some of our family members. Man, maybe some people in the church who come and they come to church, but they don't really know God. They're just, this is what I do. This is what I do. And maybe that's the people that he's saying, listen, I knocked on the door. I kept coming. I wanted you to come. I sent the invite. You said, I'll come, but you never came. You never opened your heart to me. You never professed to know my son. You never walked in the ways of the Lord. You just showed up. And he's saying, listen, I want you to know that I know you, but there'll be a moment where he'll say, in verse 12, it says in our text tonight, I never knew you. I don't know you. I can't even imagine that, because there's such delight in the fact that you can know who God is. You can know God. And more importantly, he knows you. There's such delight in that, and the grace and the mercy that comes from that, and the love that we receive from our Savior. But there is a moment coming in history where he will tell some, I don't know you. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? That he loves people, that he's inviting them, and the door is open now. And he's saying, before that door ever closes, I want the world to know that I want to know them and I love them. John 3:16, I sent my son for that reason alone. And then Jesus closes off this parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. And this is what he says in verse 13. Watch, therefore. And that watch is an imperative. It's like, do this. Do this. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch. Be ready. Be on guard. Stay alert. Don't fall asleep. Be preparing your hearts on a regular basis, because the moment could come at any time where he calls you or myself home to be with him. Are we ready? Is your heart ready for that moment? I would highly consider just taking inventory of our hearts. Consider my heart. Consider my actions. Consider my life. Is it representative of a man or a woman of God? Does my life reflect, is there spiritual fruit that comes out of my life that would say, yes, I've put my faith and trust in him. Yes, I'm a son and daughter of the King. And when that day comes, when either I'm called to be home or he returns in the rapture, or prayerfully none of us have to live through the tribulation, but should that happen, that I would be able to say, yeah, I can say with confidence that I will be home. When that door was open, I walked through the door, and now I'm part of that ceremony. For some of us, maybe tonight, it's just a real healthy refresher of what we're here for, right? Number one, this is a truth that we believe in because it's in the Word of God. And so we know there's a moment coming when he will return. So we live for that moment, but we also live to tell other people about that moment. That we share the truth of the gospel because we believe it's the truth unto salvation for everyone, right? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there will be no one who will get to the Father but through him. And so we share that truth. Maybe for us tonight, we're like, yeah, I'm totally good, right? I'm set, right? I know when he comes, I'm going. But I need to be reminded, Jeff, of the fact that I need to be living for this moment. That sometimes I let it slip, I forget. Maybe that doesn't become my primary focus, that Jesus is in fact going to return. And sometimes I forget about it and I kind of let things go a little bit. And maybe tonight is just a reminder for me that I want to continue to walk out this life prepared. I want to be so prepared, my heart to be so prepared for his return. And so tonight, I just want to be encouraged. Ah, thank you. I want to receive that. I want to just say, yeah, there are some things I've let go that I'm going to pick back up again, because Man, I want to be ready for the bridegroom when he comes. I want to be ready for the Lord when he returns. And so tonight I'm going to use this as a launching board for the return of the King. We're going to have a little bit of an extended time of worship tonight. Zach's going to come back out. And I would just encourage you, because we've got time, to spend time tonight right where you're sitting and just spend time with the Lord. And really ask that question. Do a heart search where it says, hey, am I really ready? Am I more like the foolish bridesmaids, unprepared, right? Hey, can I get some of your oil? Come on, hey, help me out over here, right? Or am I more like the bridesmaids who are like, you know what? We came prepared. And as long as you should tarry, Lord, as long as we're waiting, we're totally good. Should it be 5 years? Great. 100 years? We're ready. I'm going to keep my heart ready for his return. And quite frankly, the truth of the matter is probably most of us have some time that we could spend with the Lord tonight and just asking, hey, Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you cover over that part of my life? God, Lord, would you work in this area of my life? God, maybe in this area I've let slip. Would you reclaim that for you again? Lord, I want to be ready. And so tonight, in for just a little bit, we're going to spend some time worshiping. But also, if you feel like I just want to spend some time praying, do that tonight in reflection of his return. God, you are coming back. So Lord, we turn this time over to you. And the reality of Scripture, as we see throughout, is that you're going to come back. And we live in a really great season right now where we're able to preach and teach your word. We're able to read your word. Lord, we can do that every single day. Lord, that is a gift. And Lord, we want to be preparing our hearts on a regular basis for your return. So Lord, tonight speak to us. Direct our hearts, Lord, to the things of you. And just in this quiet time of worship, Lord, maybe you've got a word for us. Something you'd have us leave with tonight. So Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Amen. Tonight, I would just encourage you, before you step out these doors, there's somebody sitting around you, maybe somebody who came with you, and maybe just in that time with the Lord, that brief time with the Lord, that he just revealed some things to you. And he would say, before you walk out those doors, pray with someone tonight. That tonight is the night, maybe for some of you who've said, listen, I've been messing around, walking that edge for so long, and I hear about this open door, and I want to walk through it now. Maybe tonight's the night you walk through that door and put your faith and trust in Christ. If that's you tonight, don't leave before you pray with someone. And just say, hey, it's not a magical formula. Let me just tell you, all it is say, I'm going to give my life over to him. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to walk the rest of my days with him. And if that's you tonight, then before you leave, pray with someone about that. And also, too, maybe somebody just is coming back to the Lord and saying, hey, listen, tonight, I needed tonight because I needed to be reminded of what my purpose is, what I'm here for. And maybe some of you would say, I want to come back to him again. I've been away for too long, and this is the night that I'm going to walk back with him again. I'm going to use this as that launching pad to continue to walk him. If that's you tonight, the person next to you, just say, hey, would you pray for me? I'm coming back. Would you pray for me? Would you do that tonight before you leave? And I will just tell you, tonight, this is a family, right? Wednesday nights is family. And so I'm looking around. There's a lot of people who'd love to pray for you. I'm up here if you want to pray with me. But before you leave tonight, get with someone and pray. Amen? Have a good, hey, I hope this was a refreshing night for you before you go back out to the world again. Hope you're encouraged and strengthened. And we'll see you on Sunday.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.